Okay, so page 111, we learned over here. One short radak, and pasuk gimel. Pasuk gimel says here in the pasuk hakol sar, page 110 and page 111. In this pasuk, when we mentioned that everyone is turning away hakol sar yachdav ne'elachu, when this mizmar is repeated again in mizmar nun gimel, there it uses a different word. Okay, here it says sar. Hakol sar yachdav. Pasuk gimel in the Radak on page 111. Hakol sar yachdav sar. They turn miderech hatov. V'yesh mefarshim kmo sog. Sog means also kmo shem sefer hasheni nun gimel. Now, first, it's very interesting how the Radak. This itself is an interesting point. The Radak, how he describes mizmor nun gimel. How many sefarim are there in Tehillim? He says that's called Sefer Sheni. Okay, there are different ways to break up Tehillim. Is Tehillim one book or is Tehillim five books? The Achamish Chumashim in Tehillim. There are many different ways to break up Tehillim. If you look in the Siddur, so there are those who break up Tehillim into 7 days, into seven parts. There are those who break Tehillim into 30 parts. There are those that break it into five books. There are many different ways that Tehillim is broken up. This we have to discuss one day and review the information. But over here, this Radak, as an aside, is giving us some interesting information that Tehillim is not necessarily one book. Just like the Torah, we know, is broken up into five Chumashim. A Chumash means a fifth. There are five Chumashim. Likewise, Tehillim is broken up into more than one part. And here, he points out that in Mizmor Nun Gimel, it says the word Sog. Sog, it doesn't say the word sar, it says samach gimel, vu minno sogu achar, which means to backslide. Mr. Elman, welcome. Shalom aleichem. You're Eretz Yisrael? Mr. Elman, you're Eretz Yisrael?
No, I'm in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida? Ah, close. Just a few miles away, right? Okay, welcome. Hope you're having a good time there.
What's the temperature, man?
They want to know what the temperature is there. What's the temperature?
Today it's about 70, but it's raining.
It's 70, it's freezing. It's like. Oy, what's going to be? All right.
What's the temperature in Brooklyn?
Not bad today. Today is pretty good. What? 33. 33. 33. 33, 40. Not as bad as 18 or 10. Not as bad as it was in the past couple of days. Okay, so therefore the word sog, sog means to backslide. Sar, you see, it's not really the same word. The word sar means to go turn astray. The word sog means to go backwards. It's a very big difference. Rachman will say, if you have a person who's living a life, and all of a sudden they decide in life to take a career change. A person is a computer programmer, had enough, he hates machines, he'd rather deal, becomes an undertaker. a change of like a rabbi. Many rabbis, when they retire, they become undertakers. Why? Because the clients don't talk back to you. Okay, so the word sar means to turn astray. The word sog means to go backwards. It's a very big difference. The person is. Now let's say that Rachmanel looks like an addict, an alcoholic, and he's clean. He doesn't touch for years. And all of a sudden one day, he's by a kiddush, and so he gives him some wine, some schnapps, and he drinks a little bit, and it wakes him up. And then he goes home and he has another cup. Before he turns around, he's gone backwards. He's gone back where he came from. Shalom aleichem, Rav Dov. Welcome. So the word sog and the word sar are really very different situations of a person who is in need. People in the field of education, people in the field of dealing with Baalei Teshuva, people that have issues. The question they have to first ask when a person is not where they are supposed to be, is he sar or is he sog? It's a different therapy. A person who's supposed to be holding in one place, And all of a sudden, Rahman al-Islam, he goes off the derech. And he starts, he's not going backwards, he's exploring a different lifestyle. That's called sar. A person who came from a bad place, or and now he's just not holding where he's supposed to be, and he's going back to behaving in a way that where he was before, or he should not behave. That's not called sar. That's called sug. And the therapy and the way professionals deal with people are very different. It's a very different therapy for a person that you would put in the category of sar versus a person you put in the category of sug. So this mizmar is very interesting. This mizmar, we discussed many times, has a parallel, has a partner, a twin, mizmar nun gimel. And we discussed basic pshat is the Rashi, that this is discussing Nebuchadnezzar, and nun gimel is discussing titos. And Hashem is disturbed. Why are there no people that are protesting? And the term that is used here in mizmar nun, in mizmar yudalit, is sar, versus the term that's used in mizmar nun gimel is sug, which is a whole different issue. It's an entirely different discussion when Hashem has to complain, why are the people exploring a different lifestyle, versus why are people backsliding and going back and doing the same old aveiros that they did years ago. Everyone makes mistakes. In tzaddik ba'aretz ashayaste v'lo yechada. What is the difference between a tzaddik and a chacham and not a chacham? Do you repeat your mistakes? People, wise people, do not repeat their mistakes. Foolish people repeat their mistakes. Sug is you going back and repeating your old mistakes. Sar, you're not repeating your old mistakes. You're exploring. You're making new mistakes in life. And it's an entirely different therapy. These two different situations. Okay, that's, I wanted to point it out. That I found to be, in my eyes, at least to be something very interesting. Now, let's take a look now at the next page. On the next page, we have a very important radak, a malbim, very important malbim. The malbim on the next page is eating bread. This is very, very interesting. Let's look at eating bread. Halo yadu kol poli oven oichle am yipasik dalit. Pasik dalit says, halo yadu, do you not know? Kol poli oven, all of you practitioners of evil. Oichle ami ochlu lechem. The way that we learned this pasik the last 2 days, we translated very simply. Hashem is addressing the wicked, and he's saying to the wicked, wicked people, don't you realize, don't you know, the reason why you are successful in devouring my people easily, with no restrictions, with no resistance, you devour my people the same way a person eats a piece of bread. You wake up in the morning, you sit down to breakfast, you devour a piece of bread. No one is restricting you, no one is holding you back. You do so even without even thinking, and you just swallow, and it's in your stomach, and you go further. That's how easy it is to harm and bring korban upon my people. So you say to yourselves, you see that? You see the Jewish people, they're nothing. They don't have a God, they don't have any assistance from above. Don't make a mistake and think the reason why you're able to achieve these results and devour my people with ease, as if a person eats a piece of bread, it's because Hashem is not watching them. It's because Hashem loy koro. It's a punishment to the Jewish people. It's because they did not call out to Hashem. That is why you have been given this success. But the day of reckoning will come. Eventually my people will do teshuvah, and they will return to me. And then your day of reckoning will come. You will be punished severely for your crimes.
Does this suggest what we're saying now, like, that anti-Semitism and all kinds of redefice are because the cause is because the Jews acted insufficiently?
There are two answers to that question. There is what it says in the Chazal, there is the theoretical answer, and then there is the practical answer. The theoretical answer is absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, every single thing that happens in this world is because of us, is because of our behavior. It's the whole Sefer Nevi'im. I mean, you go the whole Tanakh. We say in Kriyashma every single day, V'chaya You're not going to listen. Isn't that anti-Semitism? Vavadatem, you'll be destroyed? Isn't that all included in Vavadatem? So we say every single day in Kriya Shema twice a day in the whole Tanakh, everything that says that everything that happens in this world is because of our behavior. If we are truly Yirei Shemayim, we are truly observant, we do everything the way we're supposed to do, then no one can possibly harm us. We will live a wonderful life. On the other hand, we look around, the second part of the answer is that we see that there are tzaddikim, there are very good people, tzaddikim gumo, who suffer for no apparent reason. They did everything correctly. How could it then be that they suffer such horrible yisurim? Tzaddik v'ra loy, rasha v'toiv loy. That is the age-old question. That is the mystery that even Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the answer to. Harin noskevadecha. So the answer is yes and no. Anti-Semitism, according to what it says in the Torah, is 100% because we are misbehaving. But mitzat sheni doesn't mean you don't do hishtadlus. You don't lobby the government. You don't engage in every possible form of protection to stop anti-Semitism al derech hatev, the same way the world does. It's because we live in a world of hester panim, and when there's hester panim, we don't know why. Does not make sense to us as to why we suffer when we are doing Hashem's will, at least the best that we can. I mean, it's the age-old question. But yes, you can't deny the fact that it says, we say in Kriya Shema, we say davening, we learn Tanakh, everything it says in the Torah, there is accountability for our behavior, and that is what brings all of the problems in this world. But we find in many situations where people do behave, they do what Hashem wants, and yet they suffer. That's a question, and that's a good question, but it does not take away from the ikkar. The question does not damage one iota what it says in Chazal, what it says in Tanakh, that everything that happens in this world is a result of our behavior. I hope I tried to do. I just told you, I didn't tell you any chidushim. I didn't tell you anything that you don't already know. This is basic kindergarten, elementary principles, which we all have to review every single day. Every single day. It's in us. But we see it doesn't always work. It's a question.
But the
question doesn't affect the emunah. The emunah, the foundation. Atzur tamim pa'aloi. The whole Tanakh, you can show psukim in parts of davening. The whole world history. Hatsur tamim paloki chol d'rochav mishpat. Kel emuna ve'ein ovel. Tzadik v'yashar hu. That those psukim say it all. The ikur is the emuna that everything that happens in this world is a reflection of our behavior, of our maisim toivim versus our averas. But it doesn't seem so. It's a question. But the question. You can't even say that. I don't think you can even say that. You look at the Holocaust. 1 million children were murdered. Over 1 million. Some say 1.5 million children. What could they possibly have done to deserve what happened to them? They were tortured. They were terrified. They were murdered. What could 1.5 million children have done that they can suffer? Majority? What majority? What majority are you talking about? How do you explain that? There's no explanation for this. Who asked this question? Moshe Rabbeinu. Hareini no eskevodecha. Rashi. Rashi says, Tzadik v'ra loy. 1.5 million children should die for no reason? Tzadik, and Hashem said to him, quiet. You're not going to understand. It's not for you to understand. V'ru'isa es achorai ufonai lo yeiro'u. There is no answer for you. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all people, the smartest of all people, the Chacham Mikol Adam, the one that Shlomo HaMelech says, I don't come to his Chachma, to the Chachma Moshe Rabbeinu. Ufonai lo yeiro'u. But Moshe Rabbeinu, even after Hashem said to him, you're not going to understand, Moshe went on. He went on to lead Klal Yisrael for the next 40 years and taught them Kol HaTorah Kula and gave them Musar and guided them and took care of them. And when he left, yesterday was the yard site, on his last day, he gave the last period of the month and 7 days, he gave over Mishnah Torah, Musar, stating again and again that if you behave yourself, you'll have a good life. And if you don't behave yourself, you're going to suffer. Oh, but Moshe Rabbeinu, you yourself ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not true. It's a question to which there is no answer, but the question does not damage the principle, the emunah, even a mashu shebemashu. The ikar is the emunah that if a person does what he's supposed to do, the hoya im shamoya tishmu el mitzvosai asher anochi mitzav eschem chayoyim li'ahava es Hashem elokechem uli'avdo b'chol levavim b'chol nafshachem. You have a good life. V'nasati mitar artzachem b'yitom yirel malkosh in those words are all the brachas. And don't tell me, oh, it means in the olam haba in the next world. That's too esoteric for me, for most of us. The pshuto shel mikra is, if you listen to Hashem, you'll have a good life. The achalta v'savata. In this world, and certainly in the next world. Oh, but we see it's not always the case. It's a good question. Many people ask that question, including Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was not given an answer. So how do we think we're going to get an answer? But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop him. Just because Hashem told him, I'm not telling you the answer, Moshe Rabbeinu, he went on to learn for 120 days the Kol HaTorah Kula in Shemayim. He came down, gave them the Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shniyos, built the Mishkan, took care of them in the desert. There were miracles, Oisai Sumovsim, the miracle of the Mon, Anani Akavai, the Be'er, he took them to the border of Eretz Yisrael, he gave them the Torah, he gave them Musar. Nothing changed. Nothing changed, even though Hashem said to him, I'm not telling you the answer. So, I mean, I've not said one Chiddush. This is just basic review of the basic principles that we learned literally in kindergarten. It's intuitive. This principle of being an Orthodox Jew is in our blood. We have emunah pshuta, simple faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe everything that it says in the Torah without any hesitation. No, there are questions. Things don't always work out. Okay, so it doesn't always work out. That's not for us to challenge. It doesn't change the equation. It doesn't change the emunah. One mashu. Now let's see if we hear this now. So I just reviewed for you this passage, whether we've been translating it the last 2-3 days. Now, we have a very beautiful drush from the Malba. Look at the page 112. 112, pasuk, on the word lechem. Okay, he's going back on the pasuk. I'm just taking that last word, the lechem. The beer ha'inyan. The beer ha'inyan on page 112, towards the bottom, in the Malbim, tefilois, David laha Malbim, in the beer ha'inyan, the top of the section, lechem, musav ali Yisrael. This was a famous section in Sefer Shmuel, when in the lifetime of David, he took a census. He counted the Jewish people. Next week's parasha, Parashas Kisisa. Parashas Kisisa is the census of Klal Yisrael. Today in Eretz Yisrael, are you allowed to participate in the census? When they send, every 10 years in America, they send papers. Yeah, good, they did it, it was like 2 years ago, right before, I think right before Corona. Was the census in America, and the Aguda went to bat. Everyone should fill out those forms because it is critical. The whole government is based upon Congress, your representatives. How many representatives each state gets? All based upon the population, funding, government funding. It's critical in Eretz Yisrael. It's critical. They have to know the number of people. So there's a very big problem with participating in the census because it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to count people. You're not allowed to count Jews. Are you allowed to participate? So in America, it's only half a problem. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big problem because it's a Jewish state, right? Is it an Israeli state or a Jewish state? Mark, you go to Eretz Yisrael a lot. We're asking Mark, we're putting him on the spot. In your assessment, is the state of Israel a Jewish state or an Israeli state?
Jewish state.
Jewish state. I'm not talking to you. How do you feel about it? When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you feel, you see it. It's a Jewish state. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, the Jewish state. So, if it's a Jewish state, then it's a problem.
Jewish but not religious.
Why you say not religious? Why do you say not religious? Chas v'shalom.
Because the government is a mixed government. You have to accept that we're in Gaulis.
No.
Are we getting to politics? I didn't mean to get into such deep politics.
Well, no,
in any event, there's a very big nafkamin. If you want to participate in the census, okay? So
they're not counting heads, though. They're counting the paper.
Yeah, they're counting paper.
A lot of these are very weak heter. Okay, one of the basic heter is because the census does not include Jews. It includes there are many non-Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. There are the Druze and there are Israeli Arab Israelis. And there are goyim, there are a lot of so therefore it's not a pure number of only Jews. The number includes many non-Jews. That's one of the main heterim why it's permitted to participate in the census in Eretz Yisrael. But in any event, David took a census and he made a very big mistake. He made a mistake and he counted the people when he's not supposed to. And this is something which because of what he did, what happened was every single day 100 people died. And it says me very frightening. How you may some mayor you love b'chol yom. You know this medrash. You read this medrash. You read the medrash 2 years ago. You would just gloss over it. Today, Rachmana Litzlan, after 2 years of this magefa, and if you pay attention to the news, they're always giving you the numbers. How many people were infected today? How many people are in the hospital? How many people have died? I remember during the height that was horrific, during the height of Corona, where literally every single day you would go and you would listen, and this is the number of people who died today. And they give you these numbers, 700,000 people died in America, 900,000 people died in America. Then they say, no, not so many, then there are so many, back and forth. Whatever the numbers are, it's horrific. No matter how you count it, it's a horror. Then they start describing the age. Who are the people who died? People, what are their ages? And then it was the really sad things when you hear about young people pass away. And here, this whole episode, this horror, it really causes us, without even thinking, to look at this medrash and to really be shaken off. Because here in this medrash it says, "How you may say, 'May you love the Mecholiah.'" And this is very interesting, what he's quoting over this medrash, Rabbi. You have to go look at this because I don't know a medrash, but I always hear things in 100 people. It doesn't mean anything, but when you learn, you come across this medrash very, very often, and the way it's usually cited is 100 people died every single day. Okay, so 100 people died. It's a horror. Even a person who's 99 years old, it's not chayiv misa. But you can't compare the tsar of a person who's 99 years old to the tsar of a person who's 18 years old, a child of someone who's 5 years old. So this way he cites the medrash, you have to go look it up, Me'a yiladim b'chol yom. Every single day in the aftermath of David counting the Jewish people, there was a magefa in Klal Yisrael, and every single day 100 children passed away. So V'tikein lochem, so what did David do? B'lemen etakana, he was mesakein to recite every single day 100 brachos. People have written many svarim on this. V'tikein lochem, mea brachos. This was the antidote. Every single day, mo Hashem elokecha shol meimach kim liyir oisai al tikri mo ela mea. To recite every single day 100 blessings. And all of the Mefarshim have a calculation. How do you reach the number 100? When do you start? Very curious. When do you start? What's the first blessing of the day? Ma'ariv? Do you start with Ma'ariv? Do you start with what? How do you start? Open up the Siddur. Every Siddur. This is one of my favorite topics. Every Siddur. Where does the Siddur start from? Shachris. Modan lefanecha. Why? When does the Jewish day begin? Every Siddur should really start with V'hurachum. No?
Yeah.
Buy an art school machzer for Rosh Hashanah. Where does it start from?
Mincha.
But the essence of who we are is Mavakar.
Is what?
God breathed into
us. Yeah.
That happened when we were created.
When Hashem created Adam, what time of the day was Adam created?
But it doesn't matter now what time of the day it was. It is for Adam, who was the morning.
Adam was created in the morning?
Yeah.
when was Adam? A simple question. Adam was created on the sixth day, Yom HaShishi. Yom HaShishi. At what time, when was he created at night, or was he created during the day? The Gemara says. The Gemara, the Medrash. The Medrash says, I don't remember. It goes to all the hours of what day, but I think he was created at night. I think he was created at Sey Sakachavim. I don't remember. We have to go see what says in the Medrash. He simply, it was a whole process. The first day, the first hour, the second hour, the third hour, the fourth hour. The Gemara goes to when he was created. All right, I don't know, I don't remember. But Maisa Bereishis, Birchas Hachama, when was the sun and the moon created? At night. All the things that were created, the Maisa Bereishis were created at night, the beginning of the... Well, that's not so simple. There's a lot, big time of discussion. Let's leave that for now. But it's a very interesting question. Why do we begin the Siddur with Moda Ani? Why doesn't every single Siddur begin with Vuhu Rachma? And look, to approve you the point that that's what you should begin with.
You
because
can't say day or night, of course, it depends. The world is every time zone. Different, so it's day here and night here. So to God, it's one big world. So you can't say he created morning and night. Everywhere, whatever he created was day and night.
Okay,
it
okay,
was
but
light and dark.
No, but wherever you are, in the world,
we
the
live
car
in
car
a linear world.
The
in this world, this time. All right, whatever it is. It's very, this topic, one of the interesting things about Meir Brachos, there are many Kuntresim, and even Sefarim that have been written about the Meir Brachos, and they present for you probably at least 10 opinions of how to make the calculation. But they present, and what is the most intriguing part of the calculations is where do you start?
Right.
Some of the mefarshim, they start the Meir Brachos with Netilas Yodayim. You wake up in the morning, the first brach you make is Al Netilas Yodayim. And some of the mefarshim who make the calculation of 100 blessings, they start with Hamapil. When you go to sleep at night, that's bracha number one, going to sleep. And others start with Ma'ariv, with Hamariv Aravim. And it's a very big nafkamina because when you have a fast day or when it's Shabbos. So if you can start with Ma'ariv, so that helps you quite a bit, because if you're going to start with Ma'ariv of Shabbos, you have a very big problem, because Friday night you only have 7 blessings in the Shemoneh Esrei. Then you have Shachris, you have Musaf, you get another 7 in, and you have Mincha, and that's it. But if you start with Moda Ani Nitilas Yodayim, you're going to get 19 for Ma'ariv. You'll be able to pair it with Ma'ariv. And Friday, you'll have a Shachris and a Mincha. So Shabbos, you're not going to have a problem. There's a very big nafkamina in calculating the 100 blessings. When do you start? When do you end? And that certainly makes a very big nafkamina in how you can advance and reach the critical number of 100. Mo Hashem HaShemach Al-Tikri Mo Elameya. This was all done, all of this was done to respond to the tragedy of Magefa of 100 children dying every single day. Does not
the 100 brachos, that was the origin of what people call today the candy field. It's exactly what happened, because people wanted to come over. Like, I remember when I was 4 years old and somebody gave me a candy in shul, and I took it, and I knew I didn't eat already. My father drilled me. He said, no, he wants you to make a shot or a front of him so he can get his way.
You know, Gareth, has the easiest time getting the neighbor, and this is a very big chiddush. We have to one day go through this topic. Kriyas HaTorah. The way we do Kriyas HaTorah today is very strange. It's a very strange Kriyas HaTorah, and it became very relevant during Corona. Really, Kriyas HaTorah, who makes the bracha? What was it done in Tamei Chazal? They made a bracha Rishayna, the Koyenid bracha Rishayna, and the one who got the last Aliyah, he made the bracha Acharayna. Over time, it developed where everyone who comes up to the Torah makes their own set of blessings. And it evolved. There are many, many problems in halacha as to the way we do it today. Many, many tough questions. I once came to have a sefer, a whole thick sefer, from a professor in Hebrew University, believe it or not, who is obviously a tremendous Talmud Chacham, an incredible Talmud Chacham. He wrote this fantastic sefer, Kriyas HaTorah, and all the different elements of Kriyas HaTorah. And there, in the middle of the sefer, he has, either it's his own or he cites someone, an incredible chiddush which solves all of the halachic issues about Kriyas HaTorah. And his chiddush is based upon the principle that there's only really one, there's only one person that is making all of the seven blessings, all of the 14 blessings of Kriya Satira. And that is the Koyre, or as we call the Baal Kriya, the one who lanes. What do you mean? The one who lanes usually doesn't make any blessings. He's just a microphone. What it means, what he explains is, the person who gets the Aliyah is not really making his blessings. He's being honored with being Moitzi, the Baal Kriya, with the brachas. It's a tremendous chiddush, but it answers every single question in the entire sugya. In other words, the one who's really, really, during Corona, what happened during Corona? What happened? The Baal Kriya, in some shuls, because of the sakana, no one stood at the bima, and the Baal Kriya, he laned all seven, he got all the aliyahs. Okay, anyone see that in shuls? Some shuls, they did that. Okay, the Baal Kriya laned all seven aliyahs, and he made 14 blessings. And Maftir also, but talk about the Kriya. He made all the blessings because of the sakana. He really, during the good times, that's exactly this, that's the way it's done today. Why then do we call up people to the bima? We honor them with being the ones to be moitzi, which shemeya ko'ine, the Baal Kriya. It's a technique. When the person gets the aliyah, you're not making the bracha. It's not your brachas. Who do you think you are? The one who makes the bracha is the one who lanes. You want a lane? Okay, you can make the brachas. You don't want a lane? You didn't stay up the whole night preparing? You don't want a lane? You're not entitled to make a blessing. Who do you think you are? The most we can do for you is, we will let you make the blessing for the Baal Kriya. The Baal Kriya, it's his blessings. The one that's making the brachos is being moitze, the Baal Kriya, which shemeya ko'ine, the blessings. That's why the Baal Kriya, what does he say? Amen. Why does the Baal Kriya have to say Amen so loud? Why is the minna that the Baal Kriya makes such a big deal about the Amen? It's my blessing, not you guys out there. All you guys in the audience, you never heard people in the audience say Amen. Why not? Why not? Why? Well, isn't it funny that the Baal Kriya starts off laning with Amen? You know why? It's his bracha. It's my bracha. I want to let everyone here in the shul know it's my bracha. And this shmegegi, he didn't want to stay up the whole night. He didn't want to stay up the whole night. And therefore, I'll let him make the bracha for me. He will be moitzi me with his bracha. I will listen. I'll be yoitzi with shemeya ko'ineh by answering amen. So on Shabbos, who gets 14 extra blessings for real? The Baal Kriya. The Baal Kriya has a very easy time on Shabbos coming to the calculation of Mea Brachas because those are his blessings. What about the people in the audience that are listening and they're answering Amen? Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says, if you can't come up with the 100 blessings, bid the Yevet. If push comes to shove, so we'll let you also say that you were Yotzei with those blessings as well. But really, they're not your blessings. But who lechatchila gets those blessings, according to this Mahalech, it is the Baal Kriya. Okay, this is a big sugya, and there are many, many difficulties. And if you go through all the difficulties in the sugya of how we do Kriya Sefer Zman Hazeh, and you come to this Yisoid, it answers all the questions. It's an amazing chiddush, and it also was very timely, because, I mean, unfortunately, during Corona, you know, it looked a little bit strange. I mean, the coolest that people came on during Corona are amazing. Things that people would never in a million years have done. Unfortunately, that's just goes from how much you have no halacha. You have to know the halacha because you never know. You never know when you need to know halacha. Some of the name of a minyanim of making. I know where I davened. The rav was in Ovel. He was in Ovel during mamish the spitz of Corona, and he was a very holy person. This rabbi is the real deal, and he really wanted daven very, very much. And it was the shul was completely locked, but he went to his roof, and there were a couple of people in their backyards. Anyway, they were in lockdown. Kids and this and that, and he made a minyan on the roof. He made a minyan on he stood on his roof, and they were like, you know, from this block and that block, from far distances, they brought together 10 people from really. Would he ever in a million years make a minyan like this? Never in a million years would he make such a minion. He's over here, he's over there, this guy's over there. Why? That's not how you have a minion. But when you have no choice, you gotta know the halacha. You gotta know the halacha that b'di'evet, you can make a minion like this. Okay, b'shas hadchak. And have one person laying all seven aliyos, and no one stands at the bima, you gotta know the halacha. B'di'evet, you can do this. All right, I'm going over here a sidetrack because it's a very topic, it's very dear to my heart, this topic of the Mei Brachos. And it says over here that David was Mesake to make a Mei Brachos, Metikin Lecha Mei Brachos, Mevush. Now here you go, the third line. I'm on page 112 in the third line. Mivor, it is explained. Shall we make David? Lohayu Nisadim Bebirchos HaShevach. Now this is saying over here an incredible Chiddush. I don't know how he knows this. In the days of David, people were not careful to daven properly. Specifically, Birchas Hashem, all of the blessings that we make to praise Hashem. Let's say the blessings of praise to Hashem. Shesheresh brachos ele nistaif. The root of these brachos are they come forth from mimash nemar v'chalta v'savatu v'rachta shemuchuyavim levarches Hashem alachilas mazoin. All of be saying over here a principle that by itself is worthy just to learn these words alone. The root of all birchos hashevach, blessings of praise, are rooted in the one blessing that is biblical, the blessing of birchas hamazon, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. I want to talk about this later after the break. This week's parasha is a very important parasha because it says v'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. You would never imagine such a pasuk, such a principle would appear in Parashas Tetzaveh. That deals with the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, and the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. And in the middle of nowhere, it says that the Kohanim, when they do the Avodah, they eat the Ochlu Oisam. They will eat from the Korbanos, Asher Kupar Bohem, from the Korbanos of the people that are offering these Korbanos to achieve atonement. A person brings a Korban Chatos, and the Kohen eats from its meat, and thus the person achieves atonement, or the person brings this carbon to achieve atonement, and it happens to be that the Kohen gets to eat a meal from this carbon. Chazal come along and they take the pasuk to a whole new dimension. And they explain this to mean the Ochlo es Masher Kupar Bohem means that when the Kohen eats the Korban, that is what effects atonement. We think that the only thing which brings atonement for the Kohen is for the person is the application of the blood on the Mizbeach. No, incorrect. What brings atonement to the person besides the blood, it's the eating of the Kohen. His, what appears to be a mundane chewing of the meat and swallowing the meat is what brings forth atonement, kapara, for the person who offered that karban. How does that work? That's a very big mystery. And we don't appreciate this because by the Goyim, there's no such thing. If we were to study religion, the philosophy of religion throughout the world, from times, ancient times, all the way until today, there is no such thing in any other religion where you bring a sacrifice to God or to a God, Avodah Zarah, Lahavdil, and somebody eats it. The essence of a sacrifice in the mind of a Gentile or a pagan, who, whatever you want to call them, is it is completely offered to God. Nothing of the sacrifice is given back to the one who offers the sacrifice. Yadus is totally in a completely different world in this respect, where you bring a sacrifice to Hashem and you eat it. You give Hashem just a little bit, you give Hashem a little fat, put some blood on the Mizbeach, and everything else is consumed either by the Kohanim or by the Ba'olim, the owners. This concept stands alone, unique to Judaism, that you don't find by any other religion, religion or offering, or by any other group of people in this world. is an incredible concept. The ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem simply means the kohanim will eat the meat of the carbon that a person has offered to achieve atonement. But Chazal make a drasha, and they tell us that the eating of the kohanim itself, asher kupar, is what brings atonement to the person who offered the carbon. And here we're expanding upon that. V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta. After the Kohen eats, after anyone eats food, you bless Hashem. This is an obligation for a person to bless Hashem. Think about it. When the Kohen eats the carbon, he has to say bracha acharayna. He has to say brachas hamazon. We assume that he's going to eat the bread, the meat with bread, and he has to make a bracha rishayna, bracha acharayna. The Kohen, the person who offers the carbon, is forcing. He's creating an opportunity, so to speak, for the Kohen to give Hashem a birchos hashevach. It's a very deep concept. A person did an aveira. He needs to achieve, needs atonement. So what does he do? He goes to Hashem and he says, Hashem, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I really should give up my life for you. I really should put an end to my neshama because I've rebelled. I ask you for forgiveness. And the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to take this animal, it's going to be my representative, it's going to be instead of me, I'm going to slaughter it. I'm going to give you its neshama. I'm going to put its blood, ki adamu on nefesh, I'm going to put it on the mizbeach. And that's not enough, Hashem. I'm also going to increase in this world opportunities for people to praise you. The meat of this animal will be given to a Kohen. He will take this and make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokim HaMelech HaOlam, shahakol nihyeh bedvaro. That itself is a ribuin in Kvod Shemayim. He's going to have pleasure. He's going to have a good time in this world, a good meal. He'll be satisfied. And then what is the Kohen going to do? The Kohen who's going to be satisfied will say to Hashem, thank you. V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta. So look at this fellow. This fellow did an aveira. And as a result, a consequence of the aveira, he says to Hashem, I'm sorry. He gives an animal's neshama to Hashem as a gift. And he gives pleasure to human beings where they can have what to eat. It's no small thing to give someone food to eat. And the people who have what to eat, they're satisfied. They're able to, you know, have peace of mind, they have what to eat. And number two, those people who eat, they use that opportunity themselves to thank Hashem and to praise Hashem. It's an incredible, there's a whole cycle of events which take place. The ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem, that is critical, that is essential for the kapara. Here he says that during the time of David, people were nisrashel, they were lazy in fully appreciating the blessings of Hashem, and they were lax in reciting birchos hashevach, birchos hamazon. In other words, they didn't say that they didn't bench the right way. Something which, unfortunately, I think we all know too well, there's a problem. This. I personally think it's the greatest yetzahar in the world. Not to bench with kavanah. Much bigger yetzahara than any other yetzahara. You eat, and you finish eating, and somehow the yetzahara just doesn't want you to bench. First you schmooze for 10 minutes, then finally, okay, let's bench. Before you either say it by heart. Why is it so hard? Why? It's almost impossible sometimes. What is it? The fact that it's so hard is a revelation of how chashuv it is. It would not be so hard if not for the fact that the Yetzirah knows that this is the gold. This is where the gold is. If only we would just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the solution is. Take some medicine to be able just to calm down, to open up the bencher, and just to read the words, very simple. No mystical hocus pocus. Just read the words with kavana. V'yachalta v'savata uveirachta. The Radak said, the Malm says, that in the lifetime of David, this was a problem. And it still is a problem. But this was a problem back then as well. And what did David do? Shemechuyavim levarich es Hashem al achilas mazayin, u'mizeh lamdu shehu adin shetzorich levarichoy al kol toivoy sav. The root of thanking Hashem for all of the blessings that He has given us is rooted in Birchas HaMazon. It's funny, you see people, they hold it, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, thank Hashem, this is good, that's good. They'll write Sefarim on Nishmas, and they'll write Sefarim on this, and all these esoteric things, and then watch how they bench. It's funny, the Ikar is the benching. Just bench like a mensch. Bench like a mensch, and you don't need to say Nishmas. You don't need to say Nishmas. Today it's a big craze, you have to say Nishmas. Perek Shira. These are very nice things. What about the benching? What about Birchas HaMazon, Nishmas, and Perek Shira, and all these other esoteric things that people are saying are extensions of, it says here, of Birchas HaMazon. V'yachalta, v'savata, uveirachta. Umizel lamdu shechua din l'shatzarach.
The whole idea of a carbon totem, why you only get one day. You want to maximize
the immediately.
All the people to eat the carbon in one
you have a,
day.
You have a short time to thank Hashem.
So it highlights that attitude, yeah.
Shua din lamdu shazak bein bein hakoilalim ubein hamuhuyavim. And what does it mean hakoilalim? What does that mean hakoilalim? The koil, the morning koil. Adopt the koil. Bein hakoilalim and bein hamuhuyavim. The general praise and the specific. You can thank Hashem in a general sense for everything that He has done for us, and then you can be very specific in thanking Hashem for the individual things. So he says something that is incredibly shocking. He's coming to tell you why bad things happen to good people. The reason why they were punished in the generation of David is not because David counted the people. That was just a trigger. That was a trigger for something that anyway was going to happen. What was anyway going to happen? What was anyway going to happen was there was a kitroik on Klal Yisrael that they were not appreciative of all of the blessing. Upishbishu b'maseihem v'tikdim esadavar mizem mevoar eichayu tzadikim ad sha'al ma. They were tzadikim ad sha'al ma she'ochlu lechem v'Hashem loy korahu. Ritzon loymar sheloy Berchu es Hashem al halachem mizeh shom vir pochad ufochad v'nisyoru me'oynesh v'shavu b'shuva. Im kain halo yodu poliyavin eichli ami v'hei mashkitzim esu alokim legamri chelef. You know why the goyim had the ability to overcome us? Chelef in exchange shebe Yisrael hoya behepuch shepochadu gam kesheloy karu es Hashem. In other words, he's putting together Pasuk Dalet with Pasuk Hey. So let's read the parts that he does. What he does is first he says over here, Ochlu lechem Hashem loy koro. Okay, that's a unique translation. He's doing not like we've done the last few days. He's putting putting this combination together. Who First of all, Al-Minemar Ochlu Lechem. Not our enemies. Until now, we have been translating these words to mean that our enemies devour us like they eat bread. No. He's translating the word Ochlu Lechem. We eat bread. We eat bread. And when we finish eating the bread, Hashem Loy Koro. We don't bench. The Jewish people eat bread, and Hashem loy korohu, and we refuse to bench like a mensch. We refuse to bench the way we really should. As a consequence of that, of not benching, that has a ripple effect, and we don't praise Hashem for anything. We don't thank Hashem for good health, for parnasa, for security, for the ability to live a free life. Once we decide we don't want to thank Hashem for the food, it has a trickle-down effect. It becomes contagious. It's a disease. We begin to thank Hashem for all of the good things. And then you know what happens? The punishment is shom, right then and there, pochadu fochad. That causes us to become afraid. Hashem takes away our sense of happiness, our security, our serenity, and we become afraid. And when we become afraid, we become vulnerable. And now we go back to the beginning of the pasuk, Halo yadu kol pole oven oichle ani. And that's when the practitioners of evil have opportunities to devour us. There's a cycle. He's presenting over here, according to the Mal, there's an incredible analysis of how he understands the human condition. A person does not do what he's supposed to do. He then feels guilt. That guilt leads to fear. When a person is afraid, he becomes vulnerable, and evildoers now have an opportunity to take advantage. Okay, that's always the way it is. They have in society, they talk about this, in the politics, is that, there have been crazy people out there in the world from time immemorial. A lot of lunatics, people who are always looking to take advantage, to control people, to do things that ordinarily in good times they could never ever do. They can't just go and steal. They just can't go and rob and commit fraud and control people. And then things happen in the world which provide opportunities. Oh, there's a terrible pandemic. The pandemic opened up a whole opportunities for crazy people to take advantage. You know how much theft, how much corruption, lies and crazy things happened during this period of time? Because this horrific period created opportunities that Mishagoy were always looking for. Now they found opportunities to go and do crazy things because of what's going on. It's exactly what it says here. There are people who are poalei oven. There are people out there who are always looking for opportunities to make trouble. Problem is, they can't, because people are not going to put up with it. But if chas v'sholem, we come into a situation of with this pachad, with this fear, then that opens up opportunities for these mishugoyim to do whatever they want to do. That's what the Malbim is saying. When there is a matzav of shom pochadu fochad, when people are afraid, you become vulnerable, you become terrified, that is when the poalei oven are activated. They see an opportunity, oichle ami, and they devour the vulnerable. Pachad is a vulnerability upon which Rishoyim prey upon. And the Veho Ikar, how does the song go? Veho Ikar Shaloi Lefached Od, is that what it says? Loi Lefached Klal. These are the words of Rav Nachman Mibreslov. Veho Ikar, Veho Ikar, I'm not a Baal Nigun. But Veho Ikar Loi Lefached Klal. Why? When a person is in a matzav of pachad, he is vulnerable, and that's what the midah where the poalei oven prey upon. Now is the $6 million question. How do we become?
The whole world
is
the narrow
one narrow bridge.
And the main thing is not to be afraid.
Loy lefachid. These are the words of Rav Nachman Mibreslov.
Yes.
And it has been developed into a beautiful song, which we all know in our and there's a lot of depth in those words of Rav Nachman. And the words again, there's a vulnerability in pachad, which the poalei oven prey upon. The Malbim is the same mamish in this pasuk. He's reading the words. It says sham pachad u'fachad. There they have terror. They're vulnerable, and that vulnerability leads to what it says in the beginning of pasuk Dalid. The poalei oven are now activated. They take advantage of that vulnerability, and the oichle ami, they destroy us. The question is, why are we afraid? How did it come about upon us, this vulnerability of being in a matzav of fear? So he says, Shang, you want to know where it comes from? It's because you are people who are ochlu lechem Hashem loy koro. You're kafui toif. You eat bread and you don't bench. Eat a simple little thing. By eating bread and not reciting a proper Birchas HaMazon that leads Shom, there, right there, in that simple little event, is what leads to the Pachad. And the Pachad is the ultimate vulnerability upon which the poalei oven can go so far to devour us. And this is awesome. Where do you get a pshat like this? Right out of the Malbim. right out of the Malbim. That's where Ilam Shah, like really is where we want to look at the last three lines, the last four lines of the Malbim. Al Sha'al Shalmash Ochlu Lechem. You know what it's all about? To eat bread, the Hashem loy korahu, and not to bench. Ritzon Eloimar, Sheloi Berchu Es Hashem Al Halechem. What happens from there? Mizeh, the result is you become afraid. You feel terror. You feel pachad. Mizeh, shom, pachad ufachad. Vinisyaru, me oinesh. You fear that you're going to be punished. You fear all of a sudden you're afraid of all these things that are going to happen. Vishavu b'shuva. That's what you should do. Vimloi, but if you don't, halo yodu, poali oven. Your enemies know that this is your vulnerability and they're waiting to devour you. They're waiting for this opportunity. Halo yodu, poali oven, oich le'ami. You know why they're able to do this harm to you, to devour you? Because they became afraid. They. It's a natural pachad which comes upon a person when he realized that he's a ganaf. He took from Hashem food. He did not thank Hashem. It was a hoyer roish Hashem yazel yisrael aminim negrakoyfim ha'ila ad sheyedu ki elokim der tzarek. Until we do tshuva, we acknowledge this. All right. So this is, I really got a lot of pleasure out of this malbim. It was a big chizik for me. Now, let's also look over here on this page at the Ber Hamilah. So that was really the previous thing. Okay. Okay, there's one more thing, but we're going to finish up. We're not on this page, Gesundheit. Let's look over at the Chumash Anoch. The Chumash Anoch on page 113. In the middle of the Chumash Anoch, it says, Mi Yitain Mitzion Yeshuas Yisrael. Dehi Yeshua Achas V'zeh B'Shuv Hashem. This is the one salvation. B'Shuv Hashem Midas Rachamim. Yagel Yaakov al Hashchina, Yismach Yisrael al Geulasan. Uve Mizmar Nun Gimel, Ksiv, he's coming to point out the difference. Mi Yitain Yitzion Yeshuas Yisrael B'Shuv Elokim Shavus Ami. So what's the difference? What's the difference over here? Mi Yitain B'Shuv Elokim. Here it says Hashem, V'hayin Dimin Hadin Heim Ru'im L'Geula, U'lefi Zeh Gam HaKomas HaShechina Hi Min Hadin. V'hayinu Yeshuois B'Loshoin Rabim. Over here it says Yeshuas. There it says Yeshuois Tartei B'Shuv Elokim Midas Hadin Dekeva Dehadin Noisein. Once the Midas Hadin Ignal Hoshim Gam HaShechina Koma V'Gam Mitzava Hoyu Tartei Yeshuois. Okay, he's saying a very beautiful idea. In other words, here, we're not going to do this, we're out of time anyway, but here, in this Mizmar, everything is, all of the psukim are written in the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. In Mizmar Nun Gimel, all of these psukim, which are very, very similar, not exactly, they're written Elokim. So therefore, like for example, this last pasuk, there it says, Mi'itein Mitzion Yeshua, so if only it will happen, that Hashem who resides in Sion will come forth and provide salvation to the Jewish people. How will he provide salvation? When he b'shuv, here it says b'shuv Hashem, when Hashem will restore the shavus amoy, the captives of his nation. There it says b'shuv Elokim. It doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei, it says Elokim. Another difference, there in Mizmor Nun Gimel, Mi'itein Yeshuois, it's written b'lashon Rabim, not b'lashon yochid. So the question is, why here are there these two differences? Why here is it Yeshuas b'lashon yochid, and it's connected to Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is midas harachamim, and in Mizmor Nun Gimel it's written b'lashon rabim Yeshuois, and it's the name of Hashem is the name of Elohim of midas hadin. The answer is very simple. If Hashem redeems us with midas harachamim, the midas hadin is not happy. It doesn't come to the party. It's on the sidelines. If Hashem decides to bring the geula with rachamim, which means we don't deserve it. Right. We're not deserving. So there's going to be a salvation. Who will participate in the salvation? So you'll invite guests. You'll invite this one, this politician, that politician. Let's invite the politician by the name of Mr. Midas Hadin. We have a chair set aside for Mr. Midas Hadin to witness the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach is arriving, he's coming down, Air Force One is about, the eagle is here. The eagle has arrived, he's getting off the plane, Melech HaMashiach, we have a ceremony for him, the red carpet. Who is in the audience? There's a seat reserved for Mr. Midas Hadin. Is that seat empty or is it occupied? Well, if Hashem brings the Geula through Rachamim, meaning that we don't deserve it, but for whatever reason Hashem says, you're not going to survive another day if I don't bring the Geula now, like what happened in Mitzrayim, that seat is not occupied, it's empty. Because Midas Hadin says, I am not coming to the ceremony, I protest. They don't deserve this salvation. They don't deserve it. And I'm not coming. I'm not coming, it's going to be incomplete. I'm making a macha. So that's right. It's going to be an incomplete salvation. It's going to be Yeshuas. B'loshen Yochid. But if Klal Yisrael rises up, they raise themselves, and they do teshuva, and they are deserving of the Geula, then when Hashem bring the Geula will come with Midas Hadin. We deserve it. We've earned it. We've earned the Geula. Then the salvation is described b'lashon rabin, yeshuos, multiple salvations. The salvation will be, when you want to talk, it doesn't necessarily mean plural. Plural represents a concept of a much greater scale, a much grander, there's much, much more magnificent. When you want to emphasize something, you say it b'lashon rabin. For example, HaKadosh Baruch, how do you refer to Hashem? Elokim. What do you mean Elokim? That's not Epicurus. How could you call Hashem Elokim? It's Elokai. Eloki. Eloki, Elokai, my God. You say like that with an Aleph Hey. Elokim, a Yud Mem means Rabin. There's only one God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. How can you ever dare say Elokim, Eloshen Rabin? That gives the impression there's more than one God. There are many gods. There are many gods out there. The pantheon. Apikorsis. The answer is no. This is the way of speaking. When you want to give something power and oomph and grandeur, You describe something that is a yachid b'lashoin rabin. Okay, that's why we call it Kadosh Baruch Hu Elokim. I think it used to be that you would call rabbi the rabbis. Even in Hebrew and in English, there used to be in the Queen's English. It was a different way of speaking. When you want to refer to a distinguished individual, okay, like the Queen's or the King's, it's a joke. But when you want to describe a person in a with respect, you refer to an individual b'lashoin rabin. You have it in the Gemara, I think, somewhere over here. There was such a principle. But by Hashem, that's what we do. We describe Hashem as Elokim. So here it says there's going to be a salvation. If only HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in Siyon, if he will bring forth salvation. In Mizmor Yud Dalet it's Yeshuas. In Mizmor Nun Gimel, it's Yeshuos. Why? Because in Mizmor Yudalit, it says B'shuv Hashem. We're referring to a Geula that comes with Midas HaRachamim. No, Rachamim, we don't deserve it. You get what you deserve. You don't deserve it, it's not going to be so glorious. It's not going to be so magnificent. It's going to be Yeshuas, a salvation. It'll make the headlines, but that's it. If it's going to be with Midas Hadin, we deserve it. It's going to be Yeshuos Yisrael. The world will stop. And the world will come bow and pay homage to Klal Yisrael. A whole different league. This is what it says in the Chemes Nechut Hida. Home run. This is a home run vart from the Chida. Okay, Rabbi Isai, so we have concluded. I think everything we wanted to mention over here, at least for now, in this Mizmar. Tomorrow, in the year Tzah Hashem, we begin Mizmar Tes Vav. Okay, I'll take a short break. And I'd like to speak about the koyach of the Ketores. This week is Parshas Tetzaveh, and the last aliyah of the parsha, we learn about the Mizbeach HaZohav, and we learn about the myths of the Maktir Ketores. So we want to discuss some of those things, and if we have some time, we'll talk about eating, about Birchas HaZimon, in honor of the Achlu Oisam Asher Kuba Bohem. Some interesting ideas. Okay, we'll take a very, very short break. Yes. Sorry? Yeah, you can.